Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Weekly Highlight Podcast. We had an incredible week here on the podcast featuring a slew of Division I coaches, including two head coaches. We got the ball rolling this week with Mike London, head coach at William & Mary. Coach London, an FCS championship-winning head coach, spoke with host Keith Grabowski about his remarkable journey through life and how it's affected his coaching career.
I know it's not coaching, but it's the power of influence. I don't mean to get emotional, but it's the power of influence that we have as individuals, as coaches. What we say, what we do, what comes out of our mouth, how we lead, what we believe in. Those are things. So when a gun doesn't go off and when the doctor says you're the match, then you're right. That is that shapes a personal philosophy. It shapes a personally who I am and how I try to deal with the great times and the tough times. We all know, coach, you know, in coaching, you know, good things happen and tough things happen. If you're in this profession long enough, then you're going to go to, you know, you're going to be let go, or schools are going to make changes. It's how you adapt and land on your feet. And so I've been really fortunate, like I said, to end up in a place that was my first assistant job, full-time assistant job, and now I'll be the head coach. So I'm blessed, and I just now it's my turn continually, whether it's coaches or players, to be in that servant leadership role.
On Tuesday this week, we went all in on offense with Army assistant coach Matt Drinkall, this time to talk about how he goes about defeating the tight front.
So in the game plan, what I wanted to do was live in two run families. Okay, I didn't want to have to add new plays. I wanted to make teeny tiny tweaks to the stuff that we already run and we're already good at. That's a good fit for us and what they don't want to have to defend. So I lived in inside zone and gap game. Now, I'll talk about the gap game first. The gap game is a three, you know, I think if you can attack it with a three-play series, you're going to get a ton of mileage out of it. So the three plays would be power, counter, or F counter, however you want to call it, and counter tray. So you're going to, you know, if you think about the two guys you're borrowing to kick out and to pull up would be the fullback and the guard on power, the guard, then the fullback on counter, and guard and tackle on counter tray. Now, the caveat is that you only run it to a three-man surface, meaning a guard, a tackle, and an extra body. It might be a heavy tackle. It might be a soft tight end or a hard tight end, however you want to do it. But by doing that, you build in the front side combo of the third and second man outside in is going to work that D end all the way to the backside inside backer. Okay, so out of that three-play series, you end up with really the same scheme where you've got that front side tray block that carries the D end of the backside backer. Your play side guard and tackle get a block back or down, however you want to call it, on the nose and the backside end or B-gap threat. And then what that leaves you is the place, the outside backer and the inside backer for the way that you're running the ball. So again, that's for your wham block or your kick out block and your puller. So if you do that, you get unparalleled angles on the front side double teams that are working at a negative angle all the way back as far as you can work it. That's really, really tough. Plus, it gives you that comes into play when people want to backdoor your run fits. It's really, really difficult. It's a great answer to a lot of different movement, and your double team is going to stay on those suckers for a month, and your down blocks are really, really simplistic blocks. So then as a result, you can run power, counter, counter, tray all the exact same way, which then as a play caller, it allows you to window dress the hell out of it and, you know, use motions or shifts or tackle over and unbalanced, all different kinds of ways to end up running the same play.
On Wednesday, Coach Vass called an audible and did a deep dive on defense with offensive guru and Mississippi State head coach Joe Moorhead to talk about the game planning process.
We're going to use five absolute maximum, and then depending on the number of like formations, obviously early in the season you have less games, later in the season you have more, then we'll have the GAs and the QCs go through every game and then pull out just, you know, specific formations or situations that kind of fit what we need, and then by formation on first and second down, and then by our different situational areas, we have a number of plays that we want per cut up. So that's kind of how we organize the breakdowns.
Now, does that change by a certain opponent? Like, if you're going into the Egg Bowl, will you say, you know what, we're going to watch every game. We're going to put every game in the breakdown, or do you keep it at that five max with those add-ins later?
It's a 4 to 5 max, with additional plays by formation. But as the offensive coordinator, I like Sunday night is one of the things I do that I'll go. And I will watch every game that they played throughout the course of the week. So, Monday's the day that we come in and we really start the game plan. And, Sunday you're reviewing the previous week's game. You're having an introduction practice after your meetings with the kids, and then you get back in the office. And then guys kind of, we talk a little goal line, we talk a little bit of short yards, we talk a little bit of protections and how we're going to set those for the week, but nothing's really set in stone. And that's a time for me to kind of look at the games that we put in, the breakdown, the 4 or 5, watch all of those sequentially, on offense. And I'm going to go and pick probably two others and watch those on Sunday night. And then throughout the week, I'm going to make sure that by Friday, I will watch each game beginning to end, outside of when we watch in the breakdowns.
As we moved into the red zone on Thursday, guest host Joel Nellis took us to Edgar High School in Wisconsin to sit down with legendary high school coach Jerry Sins, who gave some advice on how he helps his staff handle the balance between family and football.
Now my oldest coach is probably, in his upper 30s maybe, and all the way down to some guys, only 26, 7 years old. So we got a bunch of younger guys, but I always tell them, guys, it's going to take more time than you think. And so be sure and, let your wife know. Make sure your wife's a big football fan. We talk to them about bring your kids to practice if you want to. We don't care if kids are running around to practice. We always have about 8 managers. And, of course, the managers are usually coaches' kids. And those little squirts, they love to come to practice and be around the guys and, carry some dummies around or footballs or water or something. And we try to have family functions together, too. We try to get everybody together in the summer, for a picnic, all the wives and kids. And we try to go to a college game in the fall together. And everybody usually can't make it, but most of them can. We have a Christmas party kind of like at the end of the season where we get everybody together. Just recently we completed our golf outing. That's our big fundraiser, and kind of pretty much all the coaches and wives work at that, which is a hard work day, but it's a fun day. And of course all the former players come back, so it's fun for the coaches and wives, to see guys that played 20-25 years ago and stuff like that. But it definitely is something that takes a lot of time. There's more time than a person thinks.
And on Friday, host Keith Grabowski reached into his coaching notebook once again.
I wrote about that I feel are very important. So when you go back to older systems such as the wing T and the run and shoot, series football used to dominate offensive thinking. Each play as part of a series looked the same in backfield action and allowed for a progression in how the defense was attacked. It created a series or a sense of if-then. If one play was defended a certain way, then the next play in the series was the answer. When I look at our offenses today, I know we could get excited about all the information out there, and it can become a grab bag of football. So I do think you have to have a starting point for that. Series football is possible today in any offense if a linear way of thinking is set up. In the system we used while I was at the high school level, we made the stretch play more than just a base play for us. It was the starting point for our structure. As close as possible, all of our runs and play action passes were based off looking like a stretch in initial backfield action. The idea was to get the defense reacting a certain way, then develop plays off of that same look. If the defense stopped the stretch a certain way, then we had the answer in another play. As I went on to different levels and different programs, the method which we used might have been different, the plays we used might have been different, but the overriding principle is that we were going to start somewhere. People call it something that's your bread and butter play or something we're going to hang our hat on. Again, it was more than that. It was something that when we started to look at how the offense was structured, we wanted to make everything look like that play within that series. And we put our game plans together like that. I think a lot of what we did was very similar to what Dub Maddox is doing. He's certainly taken it to a different level when you think about him starting with his rhythm plays. Well, for us, that starting point was going to be essentially a rhythm play. We were going to find a way to do it no matter what. We'd find those formations, we'd find the personnel groupings, you know, we'd look at the defense of the opponent, and that's where we were going to start. We had to run that play and get that play going, and that was essential for us to establish our game plan.
Thanks for listening to the Coach and Coordinator podcast this week. Make sure to tune into our Film to Field Friday video segments as we explore the five fights. If you're a fan of the show, please make sure to follow us on our Twitter account for coaches at FBDevCoach. Read our show notes, analysis, and coaching articles at blogs.usafootball.com. And check out our systems for blocking, tackling, and defeating blocks at footballdevelopment.com. Finally, subscribe to us on SoundCloud, Google Play, and Spotify, as well as give us a 5-star review on iTunes. And as always, be sure to check in next week for more one-of-a-kind content.